Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Hey, it is good to have you here. If you're new here, man, welcome. We like to have a good time here. And more than that, though, we love Jesus a whole lot. And we believe that he is alive and that his presence is here. And we don't surround ourselves and come together just to hear a good message, or we don't come to gather together to hear an amazing band, which we have. We come to get around the presence of God because that's where transformation happens. That's where we really become who God created us to be. It's in his presence. And so today is really a great day. Number one is we got a new addition to our staff. His name is Richie Christie, and he is going to be our youth and young adult pastor. And so, you know, I'll leave it to you a little bit. What's a young adult? I would say under 30, but if you're 31, I didn't say that. And he is here for the weekend, and he's going to be teaching tonight. So here's what I need from you guys. If you are a high school student, I see a couple of you out here, I need you here tonight. He's going to be preaching tonight. We also have a Dr. Seuss wrap-off, and it's going to be epic. And if I'm feeling the beat, I may even step in and throw it down a little bit. We'll see what happens. So if you're a kid, I want you here tonight. But also, parents, if you have a high school, let me remind you, if you are paying the bills, they're in your home, if you pay for their insurance and their cell phone, you get to tell them what to do. Amen to that, right? So guess what you can do tonight? You can tell your kids to get their rear end here at 6 o'clock. And they got to listen to you. I just want to remind you, empower you parents, that you have that kind of authority, okay? So I better see every kid here. And if you're a kid, bring a friend. It's going to be a phenomenal night as you get to meet Richie and his wife Jenna here. It's going to be great. It's also a great day because we're starting a new series, and I love to start new things. That's kind of how God wired me, entrepreneurial spirit. I love to do new things and jump into new things. And so today we're going to start a series where we're going to look at stories. You know, we all love good stories. That's why that song Survivor, why do we love songs that are so good? Why? Because we can see ourselves in them and it draws us in, right? That's what a good story does. You can see yourself in the story and there's this connection. And so we're going to look at some stories because the greatest storyteller to ever live was Jesus, right? Told some incredible stories. And what's so crazy about Jesus, when you hear Jesus teach, when we read in the scriptures, the gospels about Jesus, he is always saying more than what we originally perceive, right? There's something deeper that he's telling us. And so he tells these stories, and inside of these really simple stories that everybody could relate to are some hidden truths, some nuggets of gold that are buried down in there, and not everybody is going to hear them and understand them. And so my heart for this next couple weeks or so is to unpack some of the stories that Jesus told, what we know as called parables, right? A story that's real simple, that with that story, there's some truth that's tucked in beside it. That's what a parable is. And so we're going to be looking at some parables. So if you have your Bible, I'd love for you to grab it and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Let me remind you, we've got Bibles back on this table back here. If you have one, man, just go ahead and grab one on your way out. Bring it back next Sunday. Use it. Would love for you to have a Bible or a Bible app if you're all tech savvy and you want to be cool like that. Go ahead and grab your app. There's no football on, so I expect you not to be checking scores while I'm preaching. But anybody ready for football, by the way? Yeah, it's almost football time in Tennessee. See, I almost got it. It's good. And we're going to be in Matthew 13, though. This is Jesus. He has been on the scene. He's been teaching the kingdom of God, and not only has he been teaching, though, he's been demonstrating what the power of the kingdom looks like. He's been healing people, casting out demons, really moving in power. And so at this point in his public ministry, Jesus has some enemies. Anybody else understand that's what that's like, to have some people that don't really like you that much? Well, Jesus could relate to you, because there were a lot of people that did not want to hear what Jesus had to say, and they weren't willing to receive what he was trying to give them. So at this point, there's some persecution going on. There's some pushing to take this Jesus guy out. And in that context is where we see Jesus really tell his first story, parable, in the book of Matthew. And so we're going to pick up and we're going to look at a decent chunk of scripture today, chapter 13 of Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. Now, anybody like beaches other than me? Anybody else? We're going to be, I love the beach. So I want you to picture your favorite beach. Maybe that's a beach here at a lake, or maybe it's Hilton Head, maybe it's Dirty Myrtle or something like that, you know. Sometimes I crack myself up when I say things. But think about your favorite beach for a second. I want you to think about it, and think about the hearing, the waves coming in and the breeze. And And think about Jesus is out in a boat, and he kind of pushes off the shore a little bit, and he's sitting on a boat, and he begins to unpack some truth from the Father that he's heard. And he begins to tell a story. I just want you to picture that. And I'm guessing maybe you're like me. I would have been like inching my way into the water just to get close enough to Jesus. Like probably would have got into where my knees were in the water just so I could hear this amazing truth that he was saying. This is what's happening. A big group of people are gathered around Jesus on the beach and trying to hear what he has to say because there's something different about this guy that they hadn't seen before. So Jesus unpacks this incredible stories, picking up in verse 3, and he said he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower or a farmer went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they didn't have no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now let me just make sure that last line, he who has ears. Jesus was speaking to people who had physical ears. Like there wasn't like a group of population running the earth that had no ears, okay? He was speaking to people that had physical ears right here, right? How many of you know there's a difference between hearing and actually understanding, right? So Jesus is saying, listen, if you really want to understand, I want you to understand. So you need to really be intently listening to understand. Don't just hear and let it go in one ear out the other. He's like, if you have ears, I want you to hear this, right? And he lays out this really simple story, one that all of the listeners would have understood because they had seen people out in fields planting seed, and they all would have related to this. You know, growing up, my dad had his own business. It was an agricultural business, and it was actually a business where he was reclaiming the ground. And so he would go into the southeastern Ohio strip mines, coal mines, after they had stripped out all the coal and they backfilled it with dirt. He would go in and reclaim that area with planting vegetation on it so that it would reduce the amount of erosion. The EPA would be happy, no fines given out, and everybody's good, right? And so this was his occupation. Once in a while, he would allow me as a young kid to go with him, and I would get excited because we would have to drive on these crazy roads, and he had this big diesel loud truck, and I loved it. And we would get there, and he'd have all his workers out there, a bunch of tractors, and I, at this time when I was little, I would get up in the tractor cab with him. And what I loved about those days is he had the only tractor, I think, at that time in his fleet that had air conditioning. His glory came and touched my face. It was great. And while we were sitting in that AC cab, we also listened to the radio way back when you could have a radio in a tractor. And we would rock out to Shania Twain and what's that achy breaky heart song? Travis Tritt. Yeah, we would listen to, is that Travis Tritt? No, that's Billy Ray Cyrus. Come on. I'm country enough to live in East Tennessee. Shut your mouth. And so we would rock out to country music, Randy Travis, all those good guys, and I loved it, right? I got to sit up in his lap, and we would go over these fields and planting grass and baling hay. It was awesome. But then I got older, and there came a time where I no longer was invited to sit in the cab. He said, Derek, you see that field out there? It was all dirt, a bunch of dirt and dust, little tornadoes everywhere. Hey, there's some rocks out there, and I need you to pick them up. But Dad, like, I got soft skin, man. I need to be in the AC. Nope. We're going to teach you about work, son. And so he would send me out in the scorching heat, and I would pick up rocks, and I would move them out of the field. And why did he have me do that, right? He's getting ready to plant some grass because he knew that grass doesn't grow under a rock very well. And it definitely does not grow on top of a rock, right? Because where the seed lands, it matters on how the seed is going to grow, right? And this is the simple story that Jesus is telling us, that where the seed lands actually impacts how that seed is going to end up. And so I can relate a little bit to this story because my dad and I planted a lot of seed growing up. And actually, as I got older, I was promoted again. And so we began to do some lawns as well. And so I would get a crank seeder. And as I was seeding, some of the grass seed would land on the good cultivated soil, but some of it would land on the road. And I'm going to tell you what didn't happen to the seed on the road. It never grew. Didn't happen, right? Because there was no soil for it. And so I resonate with this story a lot. And what's interesting though, the disciples, they could relate to what Jesus was saying, but they didn't quite understand what Jesus was saying, the deeper truth. They didn't get it. So they come to him and they say, Jesus, can you unpack this a little bit? I don't quite understand. I know from previous experience, you're probably saying something more than what you're saying, but I don't understand it. And so they go to Jesus and ask him, and Jesus begins to tell them, and he says this in verse 11, and Jesus answered them, to you, the disciples, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now, we just need to break this down for a second. This is really important for us to know. This word to know is a word that in the Greek is gnosko or gnosko, and this word means to experientially understand, right? How many of you know there's a difference between reading about a beach and reading about the wind on your face and actually going to the beach, putting your feet in the sand, and actually seeing the ocean that doesn't end? You know there's a big difference, right? Anybody else recognize there's a difference? Yeah? Well, here, this word here is talking about experientially knowing or understanding. Not just information, it's when that information goes down and brings transformation, right? Revelation that brings transformation. And so it said, it's been you, disciples, that have been given to know, experientially understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Now, when he says kingdom of heaven, we got to make sure we understand the kingdom that he's talking about is the rule and reign of God. Wherever the will of God is being played out, that is where the kingdom of God is. And what did Jesus come to proclaim? The kingdom of God is at hand. What was he saying? The king is here. And through the Father, he's going to restore all things back to himself through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It began when Jesus started to proclaim the kingdom of God is here. And he taught it more than anything else that Jesus taught. The rule and reign of God is here, and it's going to continue to break in until one day when Jesus returns for his second coming. And when that happens in the future, we're going to see the kingdom of God fully made when the new earth and new heaven are reality right here in this place. And so we see that they're asking questions, and Jesus says, this is for you guys to know. In verse 12, it says, for to the one who has, more will be given. He will give in abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. This is why Jesus was speaking in parables, because there were a lot of people that just wanted to see a show. They really didn't want to know about God. And at this point, he's delineating between who is who in the crowd. He's saying there's a difference for those that actually want to understand God and those that just want to see what cool thing Jesus is going to do next. And he goes on, he said, this is actually a fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah. He says, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For these people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isn't that interesting? That even the prophet Isaiah says, man, if you would change your mind about who God is, if you would ask him, he would give you the ability to hear and see. Isn't that interesting? Even all the way back in the Old Testament. He goes on and says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. It's for you, disciples, to know the kingdom. Here's what I want you to write down first, is that kingdom secrets are given to those that ask with a heart to receive. I want you to write that down. The kingdom, the rule and reign of God, these hidden mysteries that have not been previously known are given to those that ask the Father for understanding and actually have a desire to actually learn. That's who the secrets are given to, and specifically given to the disciples here. Why? Because they asked. You know, it's interesting that as I read this parable, There's two groups of people Jesus says, those that understand and those that don't understand. But how many of you know that the disciples didn't understand the first time Jesus said it? Isn't that interesting? He says, you already know, but they didn't know, or they wouldn't have asked Jesus, right? But how did they get to know? Because they asked him. See, kingdom secrets, the things of God, are given to those that actually want to learn the things of God from God himself. And the phrase that kept going through my mind is that to understand the kingdom, we've got to be in relationship with the king. To understand the deeper things of the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, we've got to be in right relationship with the King through Jesus himself, right? That's how we're made right with the Father. And so we position ourselves to understand the kingdom when we are in relationship with Jesus. You see, they were friends of Jesus, and so therefore they were spending time with Jesus, and as they spent time with Jesus, they would ask Jesus to understand this parable. Say, Jesus, we heard what you just said, and I know you meant more than just talking about guys that are sowing seeds, but I don't understand it. And Jesus said, man, you idiots, what are you guys doing? Actually, he did say that once later, but this time he said, guys, come here, I want to show you some things. The Father's been speaking to me. He's been showing me some things. I want to unpack this, and I want to give this to you because you ask me. Listen, the simple truth in the scriptures, time and time again, we see oftentimes we don't have why because we don't ask, or because we ask with wrong motivations, right? And I don't want to be a guy who doesn't know the things of the kingdom, the things of God, because I got fat and happy and never ask him for more, right? If you want to know the things of God, you have to be in relationship with God, and we get that by asking. We should not expect to understand God apart from God. That's important. We should not expect to understand the deeper things of God apart from God bringing revelation to it, right? And so this is what we see Jesus, he's unpacking, and now he's getting ready to go in and unpack the truth of the simple story, and he's about ready to give them some hidden truth that they've asked him for. So look at verse 18. He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or trials and persecution arise on account of the word that he received, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke it out, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100, another case 60, and another 30. Right? So I shared with you my story about picking up rocks in fields and how I grew up. And when I got to high school, I actually was involved with FFA. You got any other Future Farmers of America guys and gals that are proud of that right here? Some of you are like, yeah, that's kind of me. Yeah, that was me. Future Farmers of America. And some of the projects I had is I raised pigs, and I would feed them and walk my pigs. Can you imagine that? I would walk them with a cane. And then I'd sell them. And I also raised bobwhite quail. We had a dying population in our area, so we were trying to reintroduce this bird to the area. And then the other thing that I did is I was on some competitions, some teams. Not sports teams, but if you can imagine, FFA teams. Like some of you are like, wow, I can't wait to hear about this. Yeah, we would judge different things. One of the teams I was on was the, get this, rural, I said that right for East Tennessee, the rural soil judging team. Blows your mind, right? So literally this is what happened. All the county schools and city schools, they would converge in buses on a field or a pasture, and there would be a backhoe sitting there, and that backhoe had previously dug out some pits. And what would happen is we kids would take our notes and we would get down in the pit. That would be an amazing sermon, by the way. We would get down in the pit, and we would look at all the different layers of the soil. We'd get it in our hand, and we'd kind of spray a spray bottle. We were so cool. We had it strapped to our side here, and we would ribbon it out, and we would see how far out it would come. And based on how we felt it, how we saw, we would be able to analyze the soil, and we began to fill out what we believed the soil would be best used for. And just saying, we won state, just to say, you know. Yeah, that's right. Thank you for that, Seth. Appreciate that. I was second in the state, by the way, individually, just saying. So if you have some soil problems, don't ask me, because that was a long time ago. But so we would get in and we would study the soil. And one of the things that I learned is there are generally, now there's a lot more variations of soil, but there are really three primary types of soil. You got sandy soil, you've got silty soil, and you've got clayey soil, right? And then all of those, each of them has a property that's good, but the best soil is loamy soil. Everybody say loamy. So you learned something today. Loamy soil is when you combine the best qualities of all three of those and put them in one. And if you're growing something, you want loamy soil. because it's nutrient rich. It drains properly. It doesn't go too fast. And that's the kind of soil you want. So four types of soil, right? And Jesus unpacks the story and says, hey, there's really four landing places for the seed. And he begins to break it down. He says, the first one is the path. So I want you to picture, you know, they didn't have concrete back then, but so say this is a field and I'm trying to plant this field. Around that field would have been paths that were like concrete because people have walked on them so much. So literally on this walkway would be a path where most people walk, by the way. Isn't that interesting? The little subtle things that you see in these parables, right? Where most people walk is the seed that falls. And it says that the birds pick it up. And he says the bird is the enemy, right? We shouldn't be surprised when many people don't actually hear and understand the truth of the Spirit, right? But he says the seed that falls on that beaten down path, it just doesn't go anywhere. There's no soil. And so the birds that come and eat it and it goes away. And that's when Satan begins to just lie. What you heard was not what you heard. What you encountered God, that wasn't God. That conviction you felt was not for you. Just let it go. These are the things that the enemy does. He lies, and accuses, and he lies, deceives, right? This is what happens when somebody is like a path. And then he goes on and says, well, there's some rocky soil too, and that rocky soil has just a minimal top layer of soil. And so when that seed goes down, it goes down, but just a little bit, and so it hits the bottom. And so guess what? Instead of going down further, it goes up really fast. But he said when it gets hot out, the sun comes down and it scorches it, because it has no root system and it dies off. And what he says is that's a person who receives this good word about the kingdom really with joy. But when trials come, tribulation comes, hard things comes, that they fall away because they didn't think that was reality. Now, let me just remind all of us here that Jesus never promised ease. That doesn't preach very well in most churches. He never promised everything's gonna go your way. He never promised that you're never gonna have hardships and troubles. What he did say is I've already overcome the world, so take heart. But he said the seed that falls into the rocky soil, it just comes up real quick, but then it dies out and doesn't produce anything. And then he says there's a third kind, and that's the kind that lands into a part of the field where there's some thorns and thistle, and because of that, the seed goes down, but it actually never gets the right amount of sunlight, or it doesn't get the right amount of hydration that it needs to actually come up and produce its fruit. And he says that's the person that gets so caught up and getting wealthy, pursuing things that they think are gonna bring them joy. And I've been there, man, my goodness, I pursued so much stuff that I thought, man, if I could just get this promotion, if I could just get this kind of accolade, if I could make this much money, I'd be happy. Let me tell you, it's a lie. You always want more. And he says, the people that get caught up in that kind of rat race, he said, they just kind of, they never produce anything. And so he said that, but there's a fourth kind, he said, and that's the soil that's good, that's prepared, that's cultivated, and when the seed hits that, it goes down, the roots get strong, and then it comes up and produces a lot of harvest. Sometimes 100, sometimes 60, sometimes 30. Tons of truth that Jesus is sharing here. And this morning, I would challenge you to consider what type of soil best characterizes your life. Of these four ones that Jesus lays out, because I think if Jesus was here, he would just lay out and say, hey, there's some of you here that are going to hear what he had to say. Some of you aren't going to hear because you're just going to let the enemy come in and steal it away. Some of you are going to hear it real quick and then it's going to die away. What kind of soil best characterizes your life right now? And don't feel condemnation. Don't feel, oh my goodness, I'm a path. No, what did he say earlier from the prophet Isaiah? If you would ask me, I would give you eyes to see. If you would ask me, I'll give you ears to hear. And so listen, wherever you're at today, there's hope. Let me hear you. There's hope wherever you find yourself this morning. Now we could talk about these different types of soil, but I wanna share some secrets with you. Can you guys keep a secret? I know better than that in a church. I'm gonna give you some secrets. So here's the first secret of the kingdom. Down precedes up. In the kingdom of God, here's a secret for you, down always precedes up. Where does a seed have to go before it goes up? It has to go down. Help me out. It has to go where? Down, right? Roots before it can go up. How does an oak tree get to be massive? It goes down deep first, and then it can go up. The same is true in the kingdom of God. If you want to be first, guess what you have to do in the kingdom? You got to be last. If you want to have great influence in the kingdom of God, guess what you got to do? You got to serve everyone, even the person you don't like. This is the way of the kingdom. And as sons and daughters who've been invited into the kingdom through Jesus alone, made right with the Father, we also have to see this secret that if we want to be great in the kingdom of God, we got to become the least. Right? Because I know this truth, that humility positions us to receive, right? For me to ask something, I've got to do what? I've got to recognize I don't have something. I also have to recognize somebody does have something that I need. That's humility. I recognize my need, but I also recognize who can meet that need. Humility precedes, comes before receiving in the kingdom of God. With hands open, we got to ask, right? Now, what's interesting is that word humility and humble, the root of that is hummus, not pita and hummus, but hummus. And that word means soil or earthy, right? Isn't it interesting? The story that Jesus tells is talking about soil and this truth that we've got to go down before we go up. This is what he wants to convey to us this morning. Not only is that one of the secrets that down precedes up, but we also see that the kingdom, in the kingdom, depth directs destiny. Depth directs destiny. Two of the types of seed that fell, one fell on the path, and guess what? There was no depth whatsoever, and so it was taken away quickly. The other one fell on rocky soil. It had minimal depth, and guess what? It shot up real quick but had no fruit. But the one that lasted was the one who allowed depth of soil to go down deep. And what do I say with that? I'm saying, how much are you allowing God to go down deep into your heart? Would you venture to pray a prayer that David prayed, that God, will you search my heart, find in me anything that's not aligned with you? Because here's what I know is some of us in this room, we got some incredible junk drawers at home. Anybody else agree with that? Some of us have junk rooms. Some of us have junk garages. But hear me, I'm not talking about your physical home. I'm talking about your spiritual place. The health of who you are down deep. Some of us are really good at showing everybody the front room, and we got pristine carpet. We got pristine furniture where everything is still wrapped in wrapping. Anybody else have grandparents like that? Yeah? That's some of us how we live our life. We just show everybody that we got it together. But how many of you know many of us have some rooms in the back that aren't so pretty? And the struggle is for us to walk into the destiny that God wants. He wants to be invited into those places. Those deep, dark places of our life where nobody knows except maybe a few people. And for us to walk in the destiny that God's called for each and every one of us, we've got to allow him to go down deep and allow his truth to go from not just here, head knowledge, but to go down deeper, to search our heart and to bring transformation from the inside out. Depth directs our destiny. How far down are you allowing God to go and his truth to go into your life? It's a question we should ask sometimes. Now, as I was thinking about this and how this applies to us, I was thinking, man, how much easier would it have been if we just invited Jesus to preach today? Like, that would have been an incredible day. We would have been like, man, Jesus is here. How many of you ever been like me where you're like, man, if I just would have been with the disciples, I would have been a follower of Jesus. Anybody else ever thought that besides me? Yeah. So one problem with that assumption is that when Jesus was with the disciples, he was like, guys, I'm getting ready to leave. And he said, it's actually better, guys, that I leave you in person, in physical, here, time and place. Because when I go to the Father, I'm gonna send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And he's not just gonna be with you, he's gonna live in you, right? So as I was thinking about this secret knowledge, I was thinking about what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, right? Paul wrote some amazing theology and some amazing understanding. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a church and he's telling them about some of these secret things, some of the kingdom knowledge that we're talking about that Jesus wants to reveal to us through friendship with him. And this is what we see in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians 14 through 16. It says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So he's saying there's some things about the spiritual realm that only those that are in the kingdom, kids of the king, are gonna understand. We gotta understand that. He says, it goes on and says, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who has the mind of Christ? We do as his kids through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we go up a little bit higher here in verse 11. Paul writes, he says, for who knows the person's thoughts except the spirit of that person who is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. Now I want your eyes up here for a second. He says here that we might understand. Another version of this says that we may know the things freely given to us by God. You know how we know these things, what Paul says? It's through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The only way that we can know the deeper things of God is through the Holy Spirit in us and teaching us about these things. It's interesting. Now, I was raised in church, and this morning my grandfather is preaching to a group of probably about 15 with an average age of 75 in a little white chapel in southeastern Ohio. Man, persistent, man. He's so faithful. Incredible. 84 years old, still preaching his guts out. So I was raised in that, and as a preteen, I placed my faith in Jesus. I was forgiven. I came into the kingdom of God. My life, my eternity was changed fully. On that day, I became a son of the King. Incredible transformation in my life. But I really didn't know the things of God until about 12 to 15 years later. See, I hated reading my Bible, because when I read it, it felt like Chinese. I was reading Chinese. Anybody else agree with that? Sometimes you read your Bible, you're like, this must be in Mandarin, right? Like, no idea. That was me. And because of that, guess what? I didn't want to read the scriptures at all, because I felt embarrassed that I didn't understand them. And they've made no impact in my life. And I would read some of the scriptures, or I would hear some pastor like myself preaching, and it seemed so different, like for them, like they got it. And I always thought, were they just faking it? Are they real serious about this? And so then I would hear things about how the men and women operated in Acts, and I'm like, man, like none of those stories are true in my life. Like, I don't know God that way. I don't know his power. And so I got into a church that had a really good understanding of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I began to just search the scriptures for, who is this Holy Spirit? Who is he? What's he do? And what's that mean to me? And as I began to read the scriptures, because the best way to learn about the Holy Spirit is through the word that he inspired, by the way, I began to see that, man, I don't know God through his Spirit like I read in this book, the way that Paul spoke about the Spirit of God, the way that Jesus actually was led by the Spirit of God. That wasn't something I would say was part of my life. And so I came to understand that I needed to ask God that he would fill me up with his Spirit. Now, you may be like, well, that's not my background, but let me just tell you, what did Jesus say? He said, you guys being evil, which is always a great way to start this conversation. You guys are evil, but yet you know how to give good gifts to your kids. He said, how much more will my Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? So what I found profound was that he actually invites us to ask for the Holy Spirit, that he would live in us, that he would bring revelation of the kingdom of God, that he would teach us the things of God, that he would pour out the love of the Father. And so I did just that. I said, God, will you fill me up? Will you baptize me just as John the Baptist said that Jesus would come baptizing with fire in the Spirit of God? And let me tell you, that changed everything in my life. Totally transformed my life. I began to actually want to read this Bible that just before this I didn't have any understanding about. I began to pray prayers that actually saw fruit. Anybody else, you prayed and prayed and prayed, nothing happened for lots of things, and you just gave up on prayer? I was there. But I came to know the power of the Holy Spirit, and I began to pray prayers, and by golly, I felt like I was in the book of Acts again. Because that's what it looks like to be a normal follower of Jesus. Those that are filled with the Father, filled with the Spirit, filled and following the Father, right? This is what it looks like. And so everything transformed in my life, and my understanding of God changed drastically. And so as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about, man, we are kids of the King, and the kids of the King can ask the King for anything. And one of the things that I think many of us may need to ask the King for is that he would fill us with the Spirit so that we could understand the things of God more accurately, right? And maybe this morning you would sit there and say, man, I relate to that, Derek. I don't feel like I know God, like know him. I don't understand the things of God. And I'm gonna tell you, I think for many of us, what we're missing out is a true relationship with the Holy Spirit. So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna sing one last song today, and I'm gonna invite our prayer ministry team up right now. And it's a little different, so I get it. So I want you to hear out. This is what we're gonna do. We've got our prayer ministry team up here. During this last song, we're gonna offer to pray for anybody. And specifically, though, this morning, this is what my heart is for us to press into today. If you're like, man, I don't know Jesus like I read about in the scriptures. I wouldn't say that I prayed a prayer and I've seen it answered. I don't have victory in my life. And when I read the scriptures, I just don't understand it. I would say today, maybe the day is where you humble yourself and you ask the Father, that he would fill you up with the Spirit more than you've ever experienced before. So while we're singing the last song, if that's you, if you're like, man, I want more. I don't want to live this boring life, this very surface level life. I want depth that's going to lead me to destiny. If that's you today, I want you to step out of your seat while we're singing. And you just come up and say, I want more. I want to be filled with the Spirit more than I've ever experienced. And we've got people that we're just going to pray a simple prayer that we see in the scriptures time and time again. Father, fill us with your Spirit. Continue filling us with your Spirit time and time again. And so if that's you today, if that's resonating, if you resonate with this idea, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. Then I don't want you to sit there pridefully. I want you to humble yourself when you come down and let us add our faith to your faith. To see the Spirit fall in your life and totally transform it so that you can know the secrets of the kingdom because you know the King. So let's stand right now. We're going to sing a song about the Holy Spirit that when he comes into a room, everything changes. Literally everything changes. So Father, we invite you now to fill us up with your Spirit. I want to be filled with your Spirit more than I've experienced before. Lord, will you pour out fresh upon my life? Lord, I want to know you deeper. I want to know the things of God. I want to see your power in my life. Lord, I pray that for our church, that we'd be a church that's not found satisfied, that we would continue to ask you, that you would bring revelation to who you are and who we are. So Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. You come out and get prayer, and we'd love to pray for you.